Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Hello, everyone.
And Gauze.
Hi, hello, hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Farm Magia, a series that recently finished. Since this is based on a video game and it's new, we decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we piqued your interest. It was animated by Bridge, the studio behind Fairy Tail and the Shaman King show from 2021. Farm Magia currently has a My Animalist score of 5.66.
And I wanted to mention that the character designs for the video game are actually by Hiro Mashima, who wrote the Fairy Tail manga.
Yeah, that's super obvious. if you've ever seen a character from Fairy Tail and you look at Farm Magia, it's like, oh yeah, it's like Akira Toriyama level noticeability.
I noticed a similarity, but it wasn't exactly the same, so I'm not sure if like his designs for that were a bit different art style wise, or was it the animators who changed it a bit.
I was watching and my wife turned and she was like, why does that look so much like the guy from Fairy Tail? We've never watched anything of Fairy Tail. We barely know the characters. I don't even know their name.
But you've seen some of their games because there were two released last year.
Yeah, let's say that.
Also all the hentai. But anyway.
What hentai?
I'm sorry, what? I need more information for research.
Did Hiro Mashima do hentai? I need sources for that.
I'll get you after the pod, maybe. Farm Magia is a game that came out in November 2024 and sees you farming, as if you couldn't work it out from the title. It was developed and published by Marvelous and released on Switch, PS5, and the PC. We're a bit delayed on covering this show due to various issues, but it's still new enough. My short synopsis for this is, life at the orphanage is a quiet one, until it isn't. Arturo?
As the former Magus passes, a new tyrannical one takes over the underworld, and a group of renegades will have to fight back to protect the weak.
And goes?
People farm monsters and use them for manual labor, and then serious war drama happens, the game, the movie, but it's funny too.
Okay, for the actual plot synopsis, take it away, Gauze.
World explodes, boom, ba-boom, opening credits, titties, life is beautiful. That's what I could make out of the opening credits song, is life is beautiful.
I mean, yeah, and also about titties, they do make an effort to highlight those. But yeah, it's not quite clear what happens. It's just there's some explosions and it's kind of like the start of a Pokemon game or something.
It looked kind of apocalyptic to me.
Yeah, it doesn't really come up in the three episodes.
Oh no, it's Moltres.
Did Moltres destroy the world in Pokemon? And
might have, I don't know.
And 100 years later, that's where the game starts and we want to become the very best.
Like no one ever was.
I'm going to say yes.
Anyway, in a peaceful orphanage on the continent of Avrion, everyone start noting those things down because you're going to get confused. People are farming creatures by using other creatures. Cut to a door with a pervy smile sun over it. A man-boy child called Ten is screwing around on his own monster patch instead of helping everyone else mass farm slaves. See, Ten wants to be the very best like no one ever was, and he even has a funny little sidekick called Lucky Lou. But as we learn from his friends Lei, Chica, and Arche, he sucks and can't grow his own monsters. Thankfully, a blind man called Anzar, who's kind of a big deal, arrives and derails the roasting. Okay. Next, we cut to the town of Sendveld, where Ten and his bullies are using living creatures for manual labor and as household appliances, like it's the Flintstones.
That's brilliant. It's also true. Yeah, I've replaced the beast that's inside your pizza oven. Let me know when you need another one. What?
It's most disturbed that we're the first one where he puts little things, I don't know what they are, condom-looking creatures over, like, a lamp. It's like, it looks barbaric.
I think they emit their bioluminescent, so they are the streetlights.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be like water, like balloons. So I was like, oh, that I agreed with the condom viewpoint of them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were lights.
I don't think we actually see them lit up.
No, I have to infer that. But it's like he puts them over, like, over a thing that's on top of the post. I don't know how to explain it. I didn't like it. That is until... That's weird, because... household appliances like it's the Flintstones. That is until 10 is assaulted by Charlotte, a traveling peddler who sells a bunch of snake oil to him and Lay. Then they get chewed out by Boobs, Nares, and Avrion's ruler, and Grandpa for slacking off as if they committed a capital offense.
Yeah, they'd stop for like a minute and a half.
I just got took advantage by this snake oil sales woman, and the fucking king comes down to beat me up. Like, what the fuck, dude?
I mean, but are we gonna talk about the bondage tying that happened here? It's not your usual type, and it looks really wrong.
They call it.
Yes, it's definitely BDSM play.
Shibari rope,
right?
I think is what they call it. Yeah, that's her special skill, apparently. After some boobery, 10 adds Grandpa to his high school hit list. Some political intrigue between blind man Anzar and Boobs Nares happens when terrible news comes in. The Magus, who's like the super king, I guess, passed away. And a reverse cross-eyed funny little Grandpa Glaza places himself as the new Magus, invading Avrion as part of his plan to purge the lower class. Oh no! Ten and his friends work tirelessly to save the people, and when Ten goes to fight an evil masked man, Zaynas, his crop turns into triplet dogs. The end. That was a great episode.
Yeah. When the Zaynas attacks, destroys the crops, I thought that it was like a mixture of food and monsters, but no, it's all just monsters. So what did they eat?
Monsters.
Oh, okay.
What do they eat in Pokemon, Ace?
Delicious jelly-filled donuts.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Magikarp?
I mean, yeah.
Right? I mean, I always figured it's the most edible Pokemon.
I mean, most of them don't, like, people assume that they don't do anything, so they probably just eat them.
In that first episode, before we move on, before they go into town, there's a shot of the protagonists just standing there, not doing anything. And it's repeated, like, it cuts back to it like 3 times. Did anyone else notice that?
No, they were talking for quite a while at that point, so I kind of zoned out. Because it felt, like, very forced.
Well, Anzar arrives and then starts talking to the little children, and we see the group shot and cut back to Anzar, and he's talking to the children, and then while he's still talking, we cut back to the group shot. I thought I was watching an abridged series. Oh, I can't do the lip flaps for this bit, so I'll just put it down still.
They wanted to let you know that they listened to the exposition, okay?
I also want to point out, it's just mandatory because we do this in every anime, but unexpected nudity at the waterfall place.
Yeah.
That was, like, really unexpected. I did not see it coming.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. Also, things that we like to point out, Cicada Mailman.
Oh, no.
I missed that. I must have blocked it out.
Mailman comes in sounding like a cicada, flies off sounding like a cicada. Calm blue ocean. Calm blue ocean. Okay, let's move on.
Episode 2. Ten and Lei face the masked man, but Ten is afraid of dogs. Opening credits. Chica and Archer. Archer.
Oh, there was something I wanted to mention. They use a lot of Spanish here in the anime. And the land that they're from, Felicidad, just means happiness. Meanwhile, Organización 6, it's just basically Organization 6. So I thought you'd like to know that.
Oh, yeah, I actually noticed that. The words, I noticed words that I know. There's later the character called Zucchero, which means sugar. Is that right?
No, in Spanish it would be azúcar.
In the TV show Prison Break, it's Zucre.
I think there's also a Zucchero in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 5, which is how I know. I think I assume it's also a musician's name because that's where JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character names come from. Anyway, Chica and Archer are being attacked by the invaders and their monsters, a rock golem, ladies in kinky cosplay, and a koala bear with a megaphone.
I like the koala bear.
Yes, but he's not very threatening. Like, what does he do? What does he even do?
Summons rocks from the ether and fires them out of a megaphone.
Fortunately, they get saved by Nares and some way cool action happens. Ten and Lei fight Zenus with power of teamwork but get beaten anyway. Fortunately, they get saved by Nares and some way cool action happens.
Wait a minute. Was this in a bridge series?
Like the podcast or the anime that we watched?
The podcast, because I'm pretty sure that scene had already played.
I mean, that's what happens, okay?
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
She saves both groups in a row.
I made a note about one of the fights. I didn't make a note of which fight it was, unfortunately. But the fangs, the wolf things, they do a spin attack. Sonic the Hedgehog doesn't have claws. That's why he does it. Why are the fangs doing the spin attack?
Well, because in Naruto, there's a character that does a spin attack that's also a wolf. It's not exactly one-to-one, but yeah.
I feel like in media, there's more wolf creatures or characters that do spinning attacks. It might be a trope for wolf-type creatures.
Is the word for wolf also the word for spin attack in Japanese?
No, not this again.
It might, like, I can kind of see how you could, like, make that connection, because if you've seen a wolf or a dog breed that's related to wolves, you can see the hair on their backs get spiky when they get upset. I don't know.
It could also possibly be what happens when the dog finally catches a tail.
Oh, yeah, that's... that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It turns into a wheel. Our heroes have a group flashback in front of the ruins of the orphanage, and the souls of the unborn monsters from the crops go to heaven. But some of the crops survived, and Ten vows to take care of them. Right before he leaves.
I like how that sounds like you've made it up for comedic effect, but it's literally what happens.
About them going to heaven, or
yeah,
some...
The souls rise up again.
Nares gives an overview of all the enemies from other countries, so holds a war council, recruiting Ten and his friends. Everyone is eating constantly. We don't know where the food comes from, but they are eating it. It
comes from the two lackeys who aren't going to war.
With Manas from the continent of Perfectus as the first target, Ten, Lei, and Archer become an elite force that will strike from behind while everyone else creates a diversion. That sounds like the best plan I've ever heard. After a group gets their upgrades, allowing them to summon their monsters, the plan is put in motion. The elite force, quote-unquote, arrives on the eastern coast of Perfectus and fends off some wild monsters before encountering their childhood friend, Emero, who they thought was dead. Oh no! The end.
So, I would like to point out this war council on this plan is like the same plan you see in every single anime ever that has any strategy. We'll create a group of people and we'll attack from the front, but the protagonists, they go in through the back.
I'm gonna take these fuck-ups who I had to yell at earlier in the episode and make them into an elite force.
Are there no soldiers? Does anyone who knows how to fight? Not these farmers.
Yeah, like the whole continent, and the best we have is some farmers.
0-10 over here.
Some orphans.
Why is
Please,
he
anyone,
zero
not
ten?
Him. You don't know. He's...
They do it repeatedly, and they don't explain why he's called 0-10.
And also why he gets so angry about it.
Well, I think they thought it's clever, because his name is Ten, and there is like more like 0-10, because you suck.
Yeah, it's kind of the same by Vigon, which is like not as good of a brand as they thought it was.
So, episode 3. We open on a childhood flashback of when Emero went missing. We cut back to the present and learn Emero is now evil. Oh no! And they must fight! Opening credit.
Wait a minute. Is this an Abridged series?
Our protagonists defeat Emero's new best friends, a couple of elderly old... I wrote elderly old men. Gato and Zucchero. But Emero escapes by making his monsters the Unite Blitz. Figure that out. We cut back...
From Dragon Ball.
Yes, they
it's
do.
Not quite as majestic.
They do fusion without the dance. Or a Gattai, where multiple mechs combine into one big mech. We cut back to Avrion. Everyone is still eating.
Everyone's eating more because they have a massive pile of jelly-filled donuts.
They did show the huge mountain of jelly-filled donuts in the last episode, where when they put the plan into action.
Yeah, they were just behind her, so not really the focus of the shot. And when we see them next, it's a bigger pile, and it is the focus of the shot.
Doesn't she say, like, have a bite or something?
Eat as many as you want, I think.
Yes, Chika is reporting something, and Naris is like, whatever, have a donut. We cut back to Perfectus, where Emero reports back to Manas and has a flashback to how he was saved by him and began his new life there. Manas calls Glaza and his yandere friend to update him on the situation, and we learn that Glaza secretly sent Xanas over to Perfectus. Oh no! As our party continues their infiltration mission, Xanas strikes back. Overwhelmed, Ten remembers how Emero used Unite Blitz, and in the nick of time fails to do it himself.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Xanas is chased away by a demi-beast, which is easily defeated.
No, it's super scary. That's why it's a demi-beast and not just a normal monster, because it's super scary.
He's like, oh shit, those three kids, I can defeat them easily. But a demi beast? Oh my god. I need to go. Get back on my horse.
Also, after the Unite Blitz attempt, they have a go at 10. Like, of course you can't do that. But they did think he was going to do it. Like, he's had his monsters for like 20 hours, maybe.
I mean, I like it because it played on the... I was like, no, this isn't happening. So when it didn't work, I was happy. But I'm glad that they played on the trope.
I do like how committed they are to, like, running gags. Like, the first time we see Grandpa, his teeth fall out. And, like, he's blind, so he, like, talks to someone else. He's facing someone else when he's talking to someone else. And, yeah, the first time it happens, it's kind of, like, just kind of cringe. but like they keep doing it over and over and over. It's like the spam joke. Like, it's kind of lame, but the commitment to the joke makes it funnier.
Also, Ten being afraid of dogs, which includes his fangs, which look like dogs.
Yes, it's like the first time he gets the fangs, he, oh my god, it's dogs. And then the next episode, oh my god, dogs. Over and over and over.
In the third episode, he says, oh no, there's some enemy fangs over there. They're dogs. And now there's dogs here after he gets his fangs.
Yes, very good. Ten and his friends have a vision of Manas doing something sinister to Gato. Emero learns that Gato went missing, and the evidence presented by Manas suggests that Ten killed him. Oh no! The end.
Yeah, I was kind of... The way they start to play with it is that Manas, he's not altogether good, but there might be a reason why he's doing evil things. But by that point, at the end of the third episode, it's like, yeah, he's just evil, which is kind of boring.
Power corrupts and all that.
Well, because the his lackeys seem to like him rather than be afraid or working out of loyalty or anything. So I thought there might be something to the character, but no, just bad guy. So anyway, was it a good adaptation?
So I'm not sure if my research fully panned out, but isn't this just the same story?
Yeah, it appears to be the same story, adapted, of course, for anime. But right at the start of the game, Ten has lots of fangs and like some other beasts. And in the anime, he has three.
Well, they had to reduce them to three because he wouldn't name all the ones that he had in the game.
He can't name 40 of them. There's only so many variations of Fangford.
Fangsuke. Fan One. Fan Ace. Fan Artura.
Yeah, I thought it was... it's strange that I went to Twitch and no one was streaming it. And one person was streaming it. In German, I think. And there was one video which was that same person having streamed it in the past. And it only came out in November. Are people not saving their gameplay footage, or is Twitch deleting it? But I went to YouTube and checked it out there. So based on the first three episodes, is it a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka, Arthur?
I think for me, I'm going to have to put somewhere between like Baka and Nani. I like it, but it feels like it never found its theme. It was really dark sometimes, like the baby animals going, baby monsters going to heaven. But then immediately they do it like a joke and just completely just whiplash of themes that I was not a huge fan of. I like both ends of the story, right? It's good as a serious story and it's good as a funny one, but it comes with both. It didn't do good at all at mixing them together.
Yeah, fair. And Ghost?
Yeah, I'm somewhere between Nani and Yata, because, it's definitely my sense of humor. But hopefully, like, they don't... I feel like Fairy Tail, like, overplayed its hand with stuff. And, like, definitely that has the same... the creators, so it might do the same, but based on those three episodes, I think I'm gonna go with Yata.
Okay, for me it's a Nani. There's nothing wrong with it, other than the tone shifting every 2 minutes, and the first episode was a little bit unscrutable, but it just didn't appeal to me as a package.
Oh man, I really didn't. It felt very kind of like sequential, or like everything was scripted. You could definitely tell there was a script going, and it didn't feel like a natural narrative.
It's by the numbers.
There you go. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It's just crazy. Like the kids popping up so we could learn about the world, like 10 minutes into the episode when we were already confused anyway.
Yeah, I called them exposition children. Not that they not that they give exposition, that they're exposition too. They're there for that reason. But yeah, that kind of, I guess I liked it on an ironic level because of that. So I'm not sure if Yata is appropriate for me, but yeah, if, like it might like continue to be amusing to me.
Okay, so it seems that the next question, will you keep watching, is a no from me, a no from Utter, and a yes from Goz?
I might check out a whole more episodes.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same like ballpark. There's other things I would rather watch, but I really did like the humor when they wouldn't change the like themes every 2 minutes. Like if it just stuck it too funny, I would love it. But also, it has a really good humor, so I might be able to put up with it, like one episode per day or something.
All right, well, thank you for joining me, Artur and Goz.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And Betty, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.